Amen. Praise the Lord for everything that we've already received tonight. What a blessing it has been. I am not Wayne Hardy, and I apologize ahead of time. Brother Wayne, we've had this planned, the conference, and Wayne was going to stay and preach a week, Sunday through Wednesday revival for us as a church here. Had it planned for about the last 5 years, 4 or 5 years. And not too long ago, he had called me and let me know that Lisa was getting ready to have a surgery, and he didn't know exactly how the surgery was going to go and what complication might follow that. And so we talked and decided that we were going to go ahead and just hold on as long as we could and trust that if the Lord wanted Brother Wayne here, then that he was going to work it all out. And so we prayed and continued to pray, and she had the surgery about 2 weeks ago, and want to continue to pray for her. She's not healing as well as what they had hoped that she would. It was a major facial surgery and thought it could have been cancer. It was not cancer, but it had attached to a lot of the nerves in her face, and some of the nerves were damaged. And so he had that, and then not only did he have that with his wife, he's also transitioning 3 staff at the church. And so at this particular time, he called me and we talked early this week, and I realized that he was not going to be able to come. It was just he's contacted me twice today and letting us know he's praying for us, praying for me here as well. And so just continue to pray for Brother Wayne and Lisa and the church there at Stillwater, but he is not going to be here with us. First time this has happened that our guest speaker, our main speaker, has not been able to come in all the years we've had our men's conference. So I believe in a sovereign God. I believe in the providence of God. I really do. I know that Wayne, as most well-known speakers, they don't even know what the theme is, let alone preach on the theme. Amen. He will mention the theme to include it in with whatever message he was going to preach. That's usually how it happens. But I'm going to be preaching on the theme. That's exactly what I've focused on in preparing the workshops and everything around this meeting is this theme of this kind. And again, I believe that the Lord knows exactly who's going to be here and what kind of needs each one of us have. And so if you'll stand with Matthew chapter 17, and we had our introduction thinking that Brother Wayne was going to be here, and so he probably would not have heard that entire rendition from Brother Wayne, so we had one of our men be able to present that to you on this kind as an introduction, and that was good. I really enjoyed hearing that as well. Matthew chapter 17, verse 14. The Bible says, and when they were come to the multitude, this is Jesus and his disciples, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and unstable, would be the same definition there, and sore vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? And how long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, speaking of that demon, but by prayer and fasting. Let's pray. Father, we bow before you once again. Thank you for the privilege, this opportunity to be at this year's men's conference. God, thank you for what we've already received here tonight in music. What a tremendous blessing. And now, Father, as we have opened up your holy word that you have preserved for us for this day and age, thank you for it. Thank you for all those who have sacrificed and given their lives for this word that you have preserved for us. I pray tonight, God, that you would continue to meet with us in this auditorium. And God, that each one present would sense your presence, that your spirit would bear witness with their spirit, and you would speak to us and we would receive what you have for us. I ask that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to present your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. This is found, this passage of scripture and this event is found in the other gospels, but this is probably the signature event for Christ's teaching on prayer and fasting. A very powerful, powerful combination. If you have not learned from the Word of God, this tool that God has given to us, not only the tool of prayer, but the tool of prayer and the extension that goes right along with praying of fasting. Amen. Fasting is an extension of prayer. Now we're going to be getting into the solution more tomorrow as we conclude, and you're going to hear 6 workshops. You're going to get some help that you need. And we'll bring all that together and give you the solution to a lot of the different problems that we might be faced with. But tonight we're looking here and we're going to look more at the problem that produces of this kind. It's something that I believe God wants all believers to be aware of. The solution to the problems. Too often we just get overwhelmed by the problems and we don't have enough faith to look to God for the solutions. And can I tell you that God has solutions to whatever it is that we are facing? The first lesson that Jesus wanted to teach his disciples in this signature event was on faith. Faith to be able to look to him to realize that there's a solution. That God has the help that we have need of. No matter what it is that we are facing, men, can I tell you that if you have faith in God, if you truly believe in a creator God, and you believe in this Bible as being the very words of God, then you can have what you have need of. God will give you that insight. God will give you that help to find the solution. Yeah. So what is the story? What is this event? Jesus had equipped his disciples and sent them out to represent him in serving him. If you look back just a couple chapters, I want you to see this in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, this is the 12. This is the apostles. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 5, now this is what they were sent out to do. This is what they were equipped to accomplish. Can I tell you, as born-again Christian men, we have been equipped for whatever it is that God has given us to do. Satan wants to blind you to that equipment. He really does. So we find here in chapter 10, in verse 5, these 12. These 12 Jesus sent forth. And commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles and into any of the city of the Samaritans, enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And this is what they were to do. As he sent them out, he says, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Praise the Lord. That's something that God has wanted us to do ever since. Amen. John came preaching, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus came preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he sent out all of his disciples to do the very same thing. Preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. But not only were they to preach this, and they were to give them signs. In the apostolic age, there was signs and wonders. They did not have the completion of the Bible. We have the completion of the Bible today. We have the full revelation of God. And so they were equipped with signs and wonders so that the people could see the authenticity of the power that they would have. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Wow. Cast out devils. Freely ye have received. I've given you the power to do it. Freely give. Whatever he gives us, give to others. Yeah. That's what they were doing. That's where they were doing. They had already returned to Christ, and if we'd read some other, you'd find they come, returned rejoicing, saying, even the devils are subject unto us. They had been praying, and they had been using the power that Jesus had given to them, and they had seen some healed, they had seen devils defeated, and some that were possessed with demons, the demons had gone out of them. They had been doing what he had sent them to do. Except for one time. As far as we know, they've just come across one boy. And when they were come to the multitude, now they're come back to Jesus. And now picture this. I love to put myself into the scriptures. They're already back. They've already rejoiced. Telling him, even the devils are subject unto us. What a blessing it has been in taking the power that you've given to us and giving it to others and seeing how you have worked in and through us in the congregations and the crowds and the people. And then they look up and here comes this father with this boy. They hadn't told Christ. As far as we know, they hadn't told him. And I think they're even looking at this thing, oh no. That one. We told him about all the success stories. We kind of left that one out. Come on, it's happened. This is exactly what's going on. And a certain man kneeling down to him saying, now you're already cringing if you're one of his apostles. Because you probably should have told him there was one. Why couldn't we have done this if they'd have asked him ahead of time? I don't think he would have got as mad as what he did at them and say what he said in verse 17. We'll get there in just a minute. And he comes and says, Lord, have mercy on my son. For he is a lunatic. He's unstable. Somewhat, it also would refer to being insane. He's just thinking's not right. He's totally overwhelmed. And he's sore vexed, for oftentimes he falls into the fire. There's something is trying to kill him. Something's trying to destroy his life. If it's a demon, the demon wants him dead. He's casting him into fires. And I come up and I help him out. And I cast him into the water. He's trying to drown him. This demon's trying to kill this boy. And oftentimes to the water. And I brought him to thy disciples. None of the disciples wanted to look Jesus in the face right then. They're all, I knew I should have told him. And they could not cure him. They could not cure him. Now put yourself there. They had been praying and they had been laying hands on different ones, whatever they were to do, whatever instructed them to heal the sick, where they prayed over them and they would follow the example of Jesus. And many times Jesus would even spit in the clay and put the clay on the eyes and he would just touch. Sometimes he would just speak and the healing was taken. It would the dead would come up out of the tombs. I mean, they were empowered by Jesus Christ with his power to go out and to get the job done. They were representing him. This boy was a boy that was being devoured by a demon. And if they would have done their job, they could have cast out the demon at that time. But they didn't. I think they went through the regular routine. All right, let's all pray. All right, let's get around this boy. Let's put our hands on him. They might have even said, all right, that didn't work. Let's get some mud. Let's spit into it. Let's put this on him. Let's do everything that we've seen Jesus do, and let's do everything so that we will say we give it our best. And this demon didn't leave. This boy was not healed. And they finally gave up. They quit. Didn't they understand the command? Did they not have enough faith in Jesus and who he was and the power that he had given to them and the task at hand? If he had told them to do it, if they knew who he was and believed in him, had enough faith in him, then they would have known that I can do this. But they quit. Who knows how long? How long that they went to, what all the things they went through, what they tried to do. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible doesn't give us that description. But we know that this father said they could not, meaning that they said nothing we can do. Sorry, you just have to live with it. It's beyond what we can do. Now, if we were representing ourselves, it's beyond, many things are beyond what I can do. But if I'm doing what God has called me to do, then I can get it done. I can be that father that God wants me to be. I can be that husband that God wants me to be. I can be that pastor. I can be that deacon. I can be that church member. I can be the man that God wants me to be. That's what he's called me to. That's what he's given me and equipped me to be and do. But he quit. All of them, not a one of them said, no, we're missing out something. There's something that we're just not getting. I know we can get it done because it's what we've sent out to do. What are we missing? But they all said, we can't heal him. What they were saying is this demon was more powerful than Christ. This kind. They had defeated a lot of other demons. They had healed a lot of other people. But it was a this kind.
Yes. Come on.
Oh yeah, I've given up smoking. I've even overcome alcohol. I've done this and I've done that. And yeah, I've been able to do this. But is there a this kind? Is there something the devil is working in your life? Is there something that this flesh has been addicted to and has given themselves to? And inside of you, you're just saying, I've been able to get a lot of victories, but this kind. I can't overcome it. Really? It's more powerful than God? It's more powerful than the Word of God? Really? Very powerful. It was uncommon. This kind was uncommon. They didn't even realize it at this point. He tells them later on, but they didn't understand it all. He was teaching them. He was helping them. Very powerful demonic influence. They quit. They didn't even tell Jesus about it when they come back. Verse 14, they come, they see him coming, they hear this man, this father say this about the son. Now they're feeling like we should have maybe done a little bit more. When you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, if you're saved, and there's a this kind that you have not overcome, and you've allowed it to hinder you and those around you, listen to me, you will give an account. It will come out. If not in this life, it will come out at the judgment seat of Christ. I'm talking to Christians. I'm talking to Christian men that you're allowing Satan to get a victory in your life that you can overcome if you just have faith enough to look to God and find the solution to whatever it might be. Now in verse 17, have you ever read that and said, wow, I've never seen Jesus kind of get that upset? He's not talking to the Pharisees. Yeah, we've seen him call the Pharisees some things and say some things about them. He's talking to his disciples. He's talking to his apostles. Yeah, verse 17. Then Jesus answered and said, oh, faithless. Now, who did he give faith? Who did he instruct? Who did he know that was serving him, that should have already been out there and taking care of this demon? He was talking to his apostles. Faithless. They knew it. They would have known it. Not enough faith to believe they could do it. Now, did they know who Jesus was? Yeah. They'd given up all. They had already sacrificed all. They had left their jobs. They had left their families. And they had give up on everything to follow him. They had faith. But not enough. Faithless. You don't have enough faith. If you had enough faith, enough belief in who I am, enough faith to seek what I have for you, you don't have what I have for you. Can I tell you that if we don't have all that God wants us to have, we cannot be content? Contentment comes when we know that we have all that God wants to have. You have to have all the faith that God wants you to have, or you will not be content. You will be defeated by the devil, and you'll never be content unless you get the faith that God wants you to have. We are missing out on what God wants us to have, and most of it is because we don't have the faith to do what we need to do to get what God has us to receive. Faithless. They cringed. Yeah. Yeah. And perverse generation. Perverse, corrupted, distorted from what's right. You've allowed the devil to distort your view of what you were doing out there. You somehow allow that demon to corrupt you into thinking that he was more powerful than Christ. Corrupt. Perverse. How long shall I be with you? Pay attention when I'm teaching. Learn what I have for you to learn. How long shall I suffer you? Praise the Lord for a long-suffering God. Yeah. Whew. Bring him hither to me. And as soon as he brought him to him, Jesus rebuked the devil and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. And the disciples said, do you know how long we worked on that? Do you know everything that we did, how much we prayed, what we did? And look what happens when you know that greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. You got to know that. It's not just something that you quote whenever you want to shut somebody up that's preaching to you. Amen. Whatever it might be, you have to know. The word of God is true. The word of God is powerful. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Yeah. They gave up when they lacked faith or an awareness of what it would take to get the victory. If you know that you can do it, then you just got to know you don't have all that you need to get the victory. So go back to the source and get what you need to get the victory. Don't give up. Don't quit. Ephesians in chapter 6 helps us to understand that. This is what we're doing today. It's our battle. It's what we war against. We don't war against flesh and blood. We're not warring against individual people. We're fighting a spiritual battle. And the spiritual help that you need is from Christ. And the spiritual help is a solution to their physical problems. Whatever you're fighting, whatever you're battling, the help is from Christ. The solution is from this book. Ephesians in chapter 6 and verse 12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness." This world is dark. It is filled with darkness. It is filled with evil. It is filled with temptations. It is filled with things that will destroy your life and your family. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. It's all over. It's all over. It's at your workplace. It's in your own family relations. Just because it's family relations doesn't mean that you ought to let the Satan work through them to destroy your home. It's through the co-workers, and sometimes it's even through other church members. It's everywhere. Verse 10, he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might." Now, you might not be able to do it in your own might, in your strength, but you can do it in his. If it's what God wants you to do, if it's what God wants you to accomplish, you can get it done. Put on the whole armor of God. Maybe that's what you're missing out on. You don't have the armor that God wants you to have. And if you have it, you're not putting it on. On a regular basis, like we need to. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able, you can do it. Stand against the wiles of the devil. He's real. Very real. In Christ, we can defeat any and all demonic influences. Even when we come up against this kind. All of us will face this kind from time to time. Some of us have faced them and we're living with the results of failure. You're divorced. You've got prodigal children. You might still be addicted to drugs, maybe prescription drugs. And because you say it's prescription drugs, it seems like it's all right because it was prescribed. You still have a problem with alcohol. You still have a problem with lust. And you're suffering from the consequences of it. Just being honest. Yeah. My 40 years of ministry, going on 40 years of ministry, I've seen what this kind can do to those that have been able to overcome a lot of other temptations, a lot of other demon influences, but they got caught up with this kind, and they gave up on trying to overcome it. I could tell you story after story, but I do want to just mention a couple. A former missionary had a problem with pornography. He thought he'd get by with it on the mission field, but when you have this kind of sin in your life and you've already accepted this into your life, justifying it however you have to justify it, you lose the power of God. You might still look the same. You might still do the same things, go through the same routine, but you do not have the power of God. He has no fellowship with that of the darkness. He has no fellowship with darkness. He failed on the mission field, had to come home. Still had this hidden. His wife knew about it. Couldn't find work, couldn't do a lot of things. He held on to this sin of pornography until one night
He abused his 16-year-old daughter who was in my youth department. The very next day, the 16-year-old girl and her mother is sitting across from me telling me what took place. As a youth pastor, I knew we had to do something about it. I got a hold of the police to file a report. While I was filing the report, not knowing, this oppression had finally, I believe every indication was this man was saved. If he's saved, he can't be demon possessed, but he can be demon oppressed. After he did what he did, he could no longer live with himself. While they were sitting across from my desk, he went into the room, get a 12-gauge shotgun, put it against his heart, because that's what he wanted to blow out of his body. And he took a pole, pushed the trigger, and blew a hole right in the middle of his chest. And you say, that's what he gets. Really? He deserved it. He should have killed himself after what he... I'm not trying to take up for him at all. But Satan got the victory in this man's life. He took him off the mission field. He kept him from accomplishing whatever God would have had him to accomplish. And not only that, now he's got a 16-year-old daughter and a wife who have to live with what had just taken place, scarred for the rest of their lives over this kind. Don't believe the lie of the devil as long as I can keep it to myself. It's not going to hurt anybody.
Yeah.
In this day and age we live in, pornographic sites are so easy to get to, and so many of our church members are engaging in this kind of activity. And I'm here to tell you tonight, it's of this kind. It will take you down and destroy not only you, but others around you. A young man, married for 2 years. His wife, both in our church, both families in our church, his wife expecting a second baby, had a hidden problem with alcohol, prescription drugs. Come to find out afterwards, it had been going on for some time. He had been hiding it. His wife went out of town because of some things going on. His own sister came over to the house. He got her drunk. And being drunken himself, raped his own sister. It was the alcohol that did it. No, it wasn't the alcohol that did it. It was the alcohol that was a tool that Satan was using. You did it. There's no excuse for wrong behavior, but there are reasons of why people behave wrongly, and many reasons is this kind. Destroyed both families. Another man faced a divorce. He didn't want the divorce. Didn't want the divorce, but his wife divorced him. He wanted the children. She trumped up some false accusations, accused him of child abuse. The police were interviewing him and talking to him, wouldn't let him see the children, wouldn't let him get around. This man's head was so messed up, He believed the lies of the devil, that there was no way that he could get out of it. This was an innocent man. It all come out later on. He was an innocent man. But all this was going on, and he was oppressed by this spirit of Satan. He didn't know how to clear up his own mind. He got his pistol out. He told me this later on. He had put this pistol in his mouth. He's getting ready to pull the trigger and look down. And on the coffee table, just as he was getting ready to pull the trigger, there was a track that said, "Are you sure?" Now the track is, "Are you sure? If you die today, will you go to heaven? Do you know where you're going?" But he's seen, "Are you sure?" He was getting ready to pull the trigger, and he had done nothing wrong except for letting the devil mess with his thinking. He called me, come into council. I helped him through that. By the power of God, he overcame that. He was able to get back to his children and was able to have a Christian influence on his children, and it made a difference in their lives. This kind, it attacked his mind, and he didn't realize what was going on, and Satan was suggesting to him, "Pull the trigger, take your life, you're no good to anybody." It was of this kind. But he turned to Christ. We turned to the church for help. He turned to Jesus Christ for help. And the scripture, the teaching, and the counseling that he received helped him to have right thinking. And he got the victory over this kind. You say, "Not me, preacher. I'll not have to worry about falling to this kind." You think you're better than King David? A man after God's own heart, who had overcome the temptation to kill Saul, but he said, "I'll not raise my hand against God's anointed." He defeated many things. Satan was after him, trying to tear him down. He killed Goliath. He had faith enough to believe that God can enable him to take down a Goliath until this kind came into his life. A vulnerable situation, yeah. A sin that so easily besets him, more than likely. He just happened to be in rebellion and should have been out fighting with the soldiers, but he was home in the palace, and Satan brought in front of him the right type. It was a this kind. His faithful servant tried to say, "David, she's married." And he blocked it out. He committed adultery that led to him committing the act of murder. And his whole family would pay for his sin because of this kind. All will face this kind. Do not give up. Do not quit. You can defeat them. And you can be, and you can do everything that God has called you to be. And everything God has given you to do, you can accomplish it. When you're facing it this kind, you got to acknowledge it. And don't give in to it. Go back to Jesus and seek whatever help necessary to deal with a this kind. Tonight, there's no doubt in my mind. We have many men on the verge of getting defeated by this kind. Not only tonight, and I believe tonight, I trust that you just make you aware of this. What is your spiritual battle? What vice is Satan using to keep you from right thinking? There's a workshop tomorrow that's going to be dealing with that. What kind of vice is Satan using to keep you from being a Christian husband? There's a workshop tomorrow for that. What kind of vice is Satan trying to use to keep you from being the kind of Christian father that God wants you to be? There's a workshop for that tomorrow. What kind of vice is Satan using to try to keep you from being the kind of faithful church member? And that's important. If you're not being a faithful church member, then there's a this kind that's keeping you from that, and you're blinded to it. There'll be some help for you tomorrow. Having a testimony at work. You need to defeat it. Maybe tonight you need to come and say, God, I'm coming back to you because I need something that I don't have right now to overcome. This kind. Tonight's invitation is just that. What do you need? God has it. It's available. You don't have to let it overcome you. You can overcome it. Don't quit on it. Don't give up. Turn back to Jesus. He'll give you the solution. I could have ever head bowed, every eye closed. That's what Jesus was talking about of this kind. Whew. If you're not facing of this kind right now, can I tell you, it's coming. It's coming. And you better learn what you need to do to overcome of this kind when it comes, or you'll be a casualty. And not only it will affect you, it'll affect those that you love the most. The ones that are looking to you for the leadership that God wants you to show. It's of this kind that we need to defeat. And they're all around us. If you don't come forward, maybe in your pew, don't worry about what anybody else is going to think. That's the last thing you'll be thinking about. Think about getting the help. Think about getting the solutions to whatever it might be. Jesus had the solution. He did. He told them what they needed to do when they faced another of this kind. The help's available for seeking it, guys. The help is there. God is a rewarder to all of those who diligently seek Him. He wants you to have the help you need. He wants to give you the solution. Father, right now we bow before you. We thank you for this event in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ and helping us to see how He was preparing His apostles. And allowing this to take place and then being able to address them and giving them the help that they would need. Oh God, help us to desire the very same help. Thank you for this conference and the help that's going to be available here to all the men. And I pray, God, that you would use it. That you would first of all get each man to seek it and open their heart and their minds up to it. I pray that's what's taking place right now all around this auditorium and at this altar, that men are looking to you and opening up their hearts and their minds to receive the help that you have for them. God, do a work in our midst. God, strengthen each and every one of us to be the men that you've called us to be. Continue to bless in this invitation in Jesus' name.